Everybody.
What's happening, family?
And welcome back to another episode of
Is This Gonna Cause an Argument?
My name is Angel Lakita Moore Tanksley, also known as That Chick Angel. I'm one of your hosts, and I am joined by my husband of 13 years. Tell him who you are, baby.
I am Marcus of Marcus Ain't on the Gram, Marcus Anthony Tanksley, a.k.a. Tank, a.k.a. Mr. Man Shit himself.
Yes, the other host of Is This Gonna Cause an Argument? If this is your first time tuning in with us, what's up?
What's happening? Good? Thank you for joining us. I don't know what took you so long to get here, but you finally did the right thing.
If you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts or whatever platform you're listening to us on, please make sure you rate and review us. It makes us more discoverable, and we greatly appreciate it, and it's free for you to be able to do that. And if you want to watch us to see what we're doing, you can go to our YouTube channel, which is That Chick Angel TV, and you can watch these. We want to give a huge shout out to our three sponsors.
Absolutely,
this
y'all.
Episode, we'll tell you more about them, but they are Peanut, Magic Spoon, and BetterHelp. We also want to give a huge shout out to our Patreon.
What's up? That's the immediate family, y'all. They are watching us right now. They can drive this conversation almost anywhere.
Yes.
But they are watching this live, and we greatly appreciate them.
Yes. So if you, too, would like to be able to watch this live, be a part of the conversation, you can join our Patreon for the low, low of $5, okay, at www.patreon.com/thatchickangel is $5 a month, which is 16 cents a day. You get exclusive content. Marcus and I actually shot two different couple challenges today.
Absolutely. Just for the Patreon, y'all.
And let me tell you, Marcus started crying during one of them.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you all what we were doing, but he legit had tears, multiple tears rolling down his face. Can't wait for the Patreon to see it, but it's only going to be for the Patreon to see, so you're going to have to join to be able to see it. So, we like to begin every single episode off with one of two segments. We either like to tell you what's got us in our feelings, or we like to tell you a Tanksley Pride story. Where's your heart at today, babe?
Oh, we can do a Tanksley Pride.
Tanksley Pride story it is. I'll start, or do you?
No, I'll start off. Go ahead, because it kind of ties into today.
Okay.
So like early last week, I think I was somebody keeps saying Tanks punches. Yeah, I'm trying to think of something else. I hate that.
You got to let the podcast know what you're talking about.
Oh yeah.
About.
So right now, if you're listening, you know Angel has her angel wings. Those she has her basically her own emoji. If you go to the angel on your emoji thing, that's Angel. That's what they use to symbolize it, to the angel wings. Kind of like the beehive. The bees is buzzing all in. We got the angel wings all up in the place. They put 1,000 angels. Each person, it equals up to Tanks. Yeah. we got some wives out there. I'm sure their husband be like, hold on, what you say you was?
Right.
But no, so we did a makeup tutorial, and somebody said, I can't remember who said it, somebody said, you know, we can call you the Tanks Punch, because I said I punched Angel in the face.
Right.
So right now they use mine as Tanks Punches. And I don't like it. And we got a few other family members that say, yeah, I'm not in favor of it either. So I'm trying to think of something, y'all. But anyway,
yeah.
Tanksley Pride. Looping back around to Tanksley Pride. So early last week, I was, I think, through my YouTube, because I went back to look at something that we put up a long time ago as far as, like, a vlog footage. And a bunch of old stuff kept coming up. I think our marriage thing... one of the marriage things, the videos that we like edited together and put up, I think that pulled up, and then some other stuff. And then it was a couple of videos of Marcus when he was really young. He was probably like 4 or 5. And I ended up watching that video and just seeing him at the age that the twins are now. It's like, I still view him like that, even though he's getting all lanky and all of that stuff with these big long feet. I still view him like that, and it was just like watching that. It's like, now I can see how parents can shed a tear from looking at a video. This is like, that's my little baby. That's that little innocent little, I mean, he's still innocent, but even more innocent then. And then today he went to get his white coat. So he's in his mentoring program, and this year the theme is all for all black boys. And this year the theme was the medical industry. So they had a stethoscope that they wore all year, that they, every meeting that they went to when they could go to meetings.
Scrubs.
I was getting to that.
Oh, I was just
yeah, stethoscope, scrubs, and then their whole, I guess, graduation or their ceremony, which they usually have it like as an actual banquet. Of course, they couldn't have it this year. It was a ceremony that they just had at the people that run it in front of their house, and they got their white coat and their medallion or medal or whatever you call it. So seeing him at that stage and seeing him literally looking like a doctor, like a MD, with this white coat on and his suit, his white shirt and his tie, it's just like, God dang. Like, if you decide to go that route, which he probably won't, this might be you one day. He could be
a veterinarian potentially.
Oh, that's so true. He does. Yeah, he would get a white coat for that. I forgot about the veterinarian thing because the gamer thing sticks so strong with him. But yeah, so like that stuff, just watching him, like seeing him at this age, at this size, and then looking at the twins, is like he was just there. That's like, that's why I cut their hair in a certain order when I cut the hair. I purposely cut his first because one time I cut the twins' hair and then I cut his hair and it was like a grown ass man was sitting in the chair because of the size difference. Yeah. I did not lie. I said, nope, never doing this again.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, yeah, twins, come on. You wait, Marcus, let me cut yours first.
Well, since we're talking about little Marcus, that's what my Tanksley Pride story was going to be anyways. So he went in for his 11-year-old checkup. I took him last week or the week before last, and you know, he's grown, like 3.5 inches since the last time he went, which was like a year and a half ago. He's still under 100 pounds, which he was shocked. He only gained like 6 pounds. But so in that way, he hadn't grown too much, but what the doctor definitely noticed, and I already noticed, is that he's going through the early stages of puberty, which for me is kind of heartbreaking because I know this will be where he'll start to pull away from me, meaning, you know, he already has his own interests. He's not trying to stay up under mama. He likes to look at his video games and stuff like that. However, like, you know, now this is the time where truly he's about to become his own person. So I got him a book. I'd actually mentioned it on my Facebook Live today. I got him a book. I can't remember the name currently. But anyways, it's on, you know, what his body is going to be going through. And so each day he was responsible for reading a chapter. And then he'd have to come back to me and discuss what he's read. So, like, it was already, like, when he got to the chapter on genitalia and, like, sex, that just broke my heart too. We had a brief conversation about it. I think the book did an excellent job of describing what that is without it, with it being very age appropriate, very factual, very truthful. But it's like that thing of, like, you know, there's innocence in childhood when you don't really understand a lot and you're not expected to understand a lot. You're not expected to know a lot.
Yeah.
But as he gets older, those expectations are going to shift. You're expected to know more. You're expected to understand more. And I don't know, it just breaks my heart. And it's my first, you know?
It's actually a really good book because we asked him to give us a recap of what he read every day. And he's like been able to explain. He was like, okay, so how you feel about that?
Right. Because I also, like, as much I, you know, in my head, I've dreamed about, like, oh, we're going to have this, like, really open communication. He's going to be ready to talk. You know, he'll feel comfortable talking to me about whatever. Like, he's mentioned to me in the past, actually recently, when he's like, if he's felt discomfort in certain areas or whatever, and he'll come to me with no type of qualms. And if it's above my level, I'll be like, you know what, you might have to ask your dad about that if that doesn't go away, since I don't have that equipment or whatever. And he'll be like, oh, okay. So there is a level of comfortability that he does have with that, because we don't put a bunch of shame around it. But also at the same time, he is still a kid, and with a kid there will be some, like, am I supposed to be talking about this with you? Like, this feels weird, you know? So I don't know, it's hard especially, like I said, I've never gone through this before. Like, every parent, if they are blessed and lucky enough to have their children live through, you know, puberty, I know sometimes people lose their kids early in that, but if they have their kids, you know, live through puberty, they experience this. But for me to experience it is definitely like, wow, this is crazy. This is happening. This is happening. And I know, like I said,
one of four times.
like, you know, right now, he tells me everything. Pretty much tells me everything. Anything I ask him, he tells me, and he should tell me. But we're about to hit an age where there are certain things that he will want to remain kind of private.
Yeah.
And I can't be upset about that, because he is like, those might be like, honest to God, private thoughts that should only be for him. And some things that I actually probably don't want to hear. If I'm really honest, you know, not trying to be the cool mom, being like, no, tell me, what was the dream about? Huh? Oh, okay. But, you know, it's just...
Like, Mama, I was all in it.
You know? how comfortable were you? Was it more so conversations you had with your friends? Or were you more so, this is just for my thoughts for me? Or were you talking to your dad, your brother, your mom?
Yeah, that was not a conversation that was had in my house.
Oh, okay.
Not for lack of them making me comfortable enough to go to them. It was just conversations that was never had.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we didn't talk about that. That's not something that didn't have those talks with me until he knew, like, until I had my driver's license and I was staying out later than I used to. Mm-hmm. It was like, you weren't protection. You know, it was you having sex. I was like, no, of course I was.
Uh-huh.
It's like, right. You weren't protection. He's like, well, do you have protection if you need? I was like, yeah. He said, why you got protection if you need?
Oh yeah, he waited until late.
Yeah,
late.
But no, that it was nothing that they ever made me uncomfortable about. It's just not a conversation that was had.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew what I needed to know. I don't feel like just from one school.
Uh-huh.
Like, you learn quite a bit in school. They probably need to go a little more in depth as far as the risk for teenagers or whatever, but. That was one of the things that was everybody picked up on. Of course, everybody in school, you hear it from your peers, which is a bad place to hear, because especially with dudes,
they're making up
a whole bunch of stuff they wasn't doing, just sitting around lying to each other. But yeah, just from school and searching and doing my own little research, because, you know, it wasn't Google back then.
Yeah, that was same with me. I was researching, as I mentioned on the other podcast, the one that I do with Kev. I was talking about reading stuff in the library, reading romance novels, and that was my introduction.
Oh, you went to romance. I was in encyclopedias and
no, that stuff helped too. But like, when it came to like just trying to figure out that part, the like, what is it supposed to be like? What is the feeling? Yeah. Romance novels, yeah, they got me through. Yeah. You all can hear our co-host, Amar, and this is perfect timing because we're about to talk about our first sponsors. This is the first time we've ever worked with this sponsor, and when I tell you all, I'm probably more excited about working with this sponsor than I have with any of the others as far as in a first time, because I feel like this is going to be so helpful for so many people in our audience. This sponsor is Peanut. Okay, so what is Peanut? Peanut is the app that helps you meet like-minded moms and moms-to-be.
Mm-hmm.
Peanut provides a safe space for mothers, expectant mothers, and those trying to conceive, build friendships, ask questions, and find support. Introducing you to women nearby who are of similar stage in life, Peanut provides access to a community of women who are there to listen, share information, and offer valuable advice. Whether it's understanding IVF, adoption, pregnancy, first years, or nursery and beyond, Peanut is a place to connect with women like you. Now, I remember when I had little Marcus, mm-hmm. I had no friends out here that had kids. I felt so alone.
Yeah, I know then you would have jumped all over something like this.
This would have been so beneficial to me.
It sounds helpful.
Because it is. It is very hard going at it alone. And it's always nice because pregnancy, even though you're growing someone, can sometimes feel like the loneliest time, especially if nobody else is going through it with you. It's always nice to have a pregnancy buddy, somebody who is pregnant with you. So now you can have a community of people who are either pregnant at the same time as you or going through the same thing. Like, I can only imagine people going through adoption if there's no one else around them going through it. All the legalities, all the things to look out for. Like,
even the emotions alone.
Exactly.
Going through adoption.
It can be difficult. IVF, just that some people carry a lot of shame when it comes to conception. If it doesn't go the way that most people, or they think most people, you know, get pregnant. So I will say having something like this is just, it's invaluable. So this is what we would love for you to do. Okay, because I signed up for Peanut. While I do have a huge community of mom friends in like real life, I do feel like there is a wealth of knowledge that I can give to the community. So I signed up to be able to give advice and get answers to questions like having my son go through puberty. Like, if I didn't talk to the doctor, I would have never thought to get the book that I got. But this is something that I could have found out on this app about, like, I need some help. Can somebody tell me what to do? This is what my son is going through. So this is what we need you to do. We need you to download the app for free today. It's 100% free. So you don't have to worry about anything. Another thing I will say before I give you all our link is that this community is so safe. This is a part of the sign up that I liked. You take a picture for your profile, right? If you want to take a picture for your profile. But what they also make you do is take a selfie of yourself so that they can verify you are a real person that isn't trying to be in this community unsafely. And that I feel like is important because dealing with, you know, pregnancy, children, it's a very vulnerable space and you want to make sure you're in a safe space. So head to peanut.app.link/Marcus and Angel or find it in the app store by typing in Peanut. I just found it by typing in Peanut. But we would love it if the sponsors knew that you all came from us. So go to peanut.app.link/Marcus and Angel. We want to really thank Peanut today for sponsoring this podcast, and more importantly, we want to thank them for creating a community, a safe community for moms and moms to be to connect. All right, you guys, we're gonna jump into the topic of the day. This is the first part of I'm not sure if it's gonna be a three-part or a four-part series. I've already booked two speakers for this series that I'm super excited about that have a wealth of knowledge, you guys. Wherever your journey is when it comes to finances, we are hoping that this series that we're going to do with you all for this next couple of weeks are going to be beneficial. So we wanted to start off this series not with an expert. We instead wanted to kind of give you all a little more insight on our money story.
Our money story and how we've matured or not in dealing with finances or money.
And what our money goals are, because it's okay to have, like, everybody's money goal does not have to be, I want to be stinking rich, because a lot of times being stinking rich, especially as a black person, comes with a lot of sacrifices. Like, you can't have a bunch of kids sometimes, like I did. But anyways, let's start off with how we were raised when it came to finances, whether it be indirectly or directly. You want to start, baby?
Yeah, I can start. So with me, I came from a two-parent household. My parents were always, like, good with money. They knew how to save. They never lived above their means. I never saw them struggle when it come to finances, whether they did or not. You know, maybe I didn't see it as a child, but they seemed, even as an adult, they've always seemed to be on top of their finances. And that's, you know, is me and my brother and sisters, that's what we experienced coming up with watching them. However, it doesn't seem like any of us fell in their footsteps. because I don't feel like we're in a different time, because, you know, my parents, especially my dad, his biggest thing was save. Like, save. You have to save. That's the only way you're going to accomplish certain things. That's the only way you're going to be rich or wealthy or be able to be live debt free. You got to save. To where, as I do research now that I'm a little older, it's like, yes, it is good to save, but at the same time, you need to invest. And even when I was, it's before I moved to California, actually, I think I was in high school, maybe I was in college. I remember them, my parents talking about, buying another house to rent out. And I was talking to my dad, like, you should definitely do that. But he was still kind of old school. He had heard horror stories about having tenants and all that type of stuff, to where I look back on it now and I'm like, you definitely should have made that move. Like, that's another way of building wealth. That's another way of getting passive income, because they had the financial backing to do it, is to purchase a house and rent it out and then, you know, pay that house off and just get even more income from it. So that's something different that I would do. I'm doing now differently than my parents did, is I'm looking for ways to invest. Granted, I do save. Like, go ahead. What were you gonna say?
So basically, your parents were more about living comfortably, more so than they were about building wealth.
Yes. Mm-hmm. See, my parents, they would buy vehicles, they would pay them off, they would keep those vehicles, they would live, they would have no payments. The only bills they would have were the bills coming in, the mortgage coming in, mm-hmm. and the bills, like utility bills coming in. They mm-hmm. didn't have any debt. If they had credit cards, they were the type of people, they would buy something with a credit card and then put the money on the credit card to pay it off. Uh-huh. Like, they never had credit card debt. They had excellent credit scores.
Yeah.
And that was, I feel like that was a very traditional way to live for their age.
Yeah.
Very traditional, very Kentucky, where we were born and raised. Mm-hmm. It's like this, that was, and they were doing everything right. Like, I remember, I never will forget this, when we got, I basically grew up in two houses. One house we had, they had got when they were younger, and then that we sold the house and they got a house built. And at the time, it was only one street in that neighborhood because it was a new development. And I remember being in, I was in elementary school, and I remember telling this lady that there was some people talking. They were talking about, you know, I used to live in one of the neighborhoods that they lived in. I was like, oh no, my parents just bought a house in this place. And we were on a field trip, and it was two mothers that heard me say this to my friends, and they were just like, yeah, right, you don't live over there.
No, they were like, no, you don't.
And I remember looking at them, but as being a child in elementary school, and I'm just like, oh, y'all not used to success. But I was just like, how you gonna tell a little child, like, yeah, right, y'all don't live over there. Mm-hmm. But at the time, it was literally only two streets. It was the main street coming in that didn't have that many houses, and then our street that only had three houses on it. Mm-hmm. And then that was one of those things where it wasn't a struggle for my parents to do. I remember we were house hunting for a long time. They were looking at houses and found there. I was like, oh, we'll just build one. Once they found a neighborhood that they liked. So that was, the only thing that got passed to me was saving. So that's instilled in me. Mm-hmm. Like every bill that I pay, as far as like utility or anything, but everything that I finance, I have a bank account for that automatically transfers, and I always put more than what's owed in that account. So I got that from my dad. So I always overpay to that account. So as I'm paying that off, I'm actually building a savings account with it. Mm-hmm. And what's different from my mom and dad, my mom is more of a risk taker and she will invest. My mom's always looking for ways to invest. Mm-hmm. And that's something I think I get from her, is like, yeah, well, what can I do? I'm willing to spend money to make money in the long run. Uh-huh. My mom, she's all about stocks. She's all about whatever type of investment she can get into to get a nice return. Uh-huh. Get a sweet return. She's willing to do it. But she won't just do it anything. She won't throw away money. Because she'll call me, it's like, what should I do about this? I'm like, well, let's find out who you need to talk to.
Well, your mom, like my mom, though, they like to gamble.
So oh, yeah, no, no.
Will take risk when it comes to that.
That's more of a, that's a hobby.
Right.
Yeah, like daddy, he would gamble, even though he ain't the one. Like, he was very frugal when it came to certain things.
Uh-huh.
But he would even gamble. That's more of a hobby than I'm going to try to go here and I'm going to come back with triple what I went out. Like, it's just like, yeah, both my moms, they have a gambling problem, but I think it's for two different reasons. Yeah, I said it, y'all have a gambling problem.
I Okay, so that's a little bit of the backdrop on him. So I grew up a little bit different, a lot of bit different. I grew up in a one-parent household, and with that, my mother was the financial provider. The thing that I kind of, I guess I learned from watching her the most, I learned a couple of things. One was my potential earning could be as high as I wanted it to be. Hmm. It just all depended on how I worked. There was no type of thing of there's a cap of how much money I can earn. So like making six figures right out of graduate school, while that was like a pleasant surprise, it wasn't something that I didn't think was unattainable. Like it was never a thought in my head of if I can just make 75 grand a year, mm-hmm. I'll be happy. It was a thing of I'll make as much money as I decide I want to make.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that was one of the plus sides, because my mother, for most of my life, I can't say the same for my sisters, but for most of my life, she was making a nice amount of money, especially compared to my friends' parents, right? However, in the scope of things, I don't think my mother had a lot of financial literacy. So, I feel like my mother, there is a, while we can garner a lot of money, we can get a lot of money, mm-hmm. we will nickel and dime money away. Mm-hmm. So, like, not having things to show for it. So, not actually building wealth, not mm-hmm. actually even understanding in particular how to create a plan and how to execute the plan, or how to have a goal and then execute the steps to reach the goal.
Yeah.
A lot of our, you know, I grew up in a time where the church was big on preaching prosperity, right? Mm-hmm. There's still a part of it where, you know, God is going to bless you. He going to give you the money. And then that would be the financial plan.
Yeah.
God gonna bless you. He gonna give you the money. That would be the financial plan. Where yes, God can bless. God can give you an abundance. But there was it was like faith, but there was no actual legitimate, tangible
working toward the faith
to work towards it.
See, that's interesting, because you were taught that there's no cap to your earning, to where like both my parents had well paying jobs. That was what I was taught, was like get a good career and be responsible with that money. Laughs Loud often asks if did my family teach me about money. That was their way of teaching me about money, was them not being, they didn't keep us in the dark of how they handle things. It's like, you know, we pay this off, you know, why don't you get a new car? I remember we bought that house, the second house. It was just like, why are we pulling up in this nice neighborhood in these busted cars? You know, it was like at one point in time it was almost embarrassing, like, dang, why don't y'all just buy a new car? And they was like, for what? We don't need no new cars.
Yeah.
And then eventually, you know, they just bought new cars when they wanted them, and it was like, all right. And then they were got to the point to where it's like, no, we're gonna keep some new cars now. Right. But they could at that point, you know, they could live comfortably.
So you all had surface level conversations, but not like too many like mechanics about
no my daddy, he had a thing of, he used to do these charts of if you should be saving this much a month. Mm-hmm. If you save this much a week, it's easy to save this much a month. It's easy to save this much a year.
Uh-huh.
And in 5 years, you'll have this much.
Right.
Which is a lot easier to do, say than do, mm-hmm. when you know, wasn't working consistently as he was. And when you did start working, it was just like, yeah, I got this money now, let me spend it a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Coming from someone, because it ain't like they gave us allowance. Granted, they would, you know, if we needed something, they would help us out or give us money. But it wasn't like my parents were just handing me money hand over fist. Like, that was not happening. So it got to the point to where I knew that I never asked for expensive things. Like, I think we talked last time about, like, Jordans and shoes and buying expensive clothes and stuff. It's like, mm-hmm. I never asked for anything extremely expensive. Uh-huh. Until I started working, and I was like, I wouldn't mind. I was like, hey, could you help me get this, and I'll pay you back.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and they were fine with that. That was how I kind of learned, like, it was a way of, quote unquote, financing early.
Yeah.
It's like, I spent this. I didn't have the money to buy it, which is what most people do when they finance. They can't afford it, but they just pay it off over time.
I know for me, one thing that kind of opened my eyes to some money, like how to kind of handle money, that stuck with me, but I don't know if I've implemented it the way I should. When I was in middle school, I ended up... Sorry, guys. When I was in middle school, I ended up in a special math program where they taught us how to pay bills, what it looked like to look at... Hold on, guys. Boy. This boy is loud as all get out. Yeah. But while I go deal with him, why don't you go ahead and tell him about our next sponsor, Magic Spoon, who has been a fan of the podcast. I'll real quickly tell you that what I love about Magic Spoon, you all know that I am a WW partner. The frosted flavor of Magic Spoon, which Marcus is going to tell you about it, is so low points that it is one of the few breakfast options that I will actually delve into because I know that it'll keep my points, my smart points, low for the top of my day. Go ahead and tell them.
Yeah, I'm going to tell y'all real quick about this Magic Spoon. Now, one thing I like to do when as soon as I get home from work is eat. Magic Spoon is one of those cereals that feels like you shouldn't be eating it as an adult. Because it's bad for you. That's how good it is, but actually it's not that bad for you. It tastes like a kid's cereal. It really does. It's
it's not bad for you at all.
It's not bad for you at all. I'm about to go over the nutritional facts. It's zero sugar, which is already so much is night and day from any other regular
A lot of the cereals, you might as well be eating candy.
A bowl of sugar is what you might as well be eating. But it's zero sugar, 11 grams of protein, and only 3 net grams of carbs. But with each serving, it has 4 flavors: cocoa, fruity, frosted, and blueberry.
Blueberry was Marcus's
favorite. That was my favorite, y'all.
I end up loving the frosted the most. Tearing it up, I was able to eat that with unsweetened almond milk and was happy.
Yeah, no, it tastes. The cereal's good, like flat out good, y'all. It's keto friendly, gluten free, grain free, soy free, low carb, and GMO free.
We didn't already told them what our favorite flavors are, so let's just go ahead and
call to action, y'all. Yes, y'all can go to magicspoon.com and enter our code, /argue, to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code argue at checkout to get free shipping.
So, and Magic Spoon is so confident in their product. It is backed with 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. That's magicspoon.com/argue. And use the code
argue
for free shipping.
Angel threw me out because she didn't repeat argue. I was waiting for it.
Sorry. We thank Magic Spoon for sponsoring the podcast.
Absolutely, Magic Spoon. We appreciate y'all. And thank you for making such a wonderful cereal.
Yeah. Are you just going to tell them about it too? Oh, now you get quiet. So he only wants to talk when I talk.
Yeah, apparently.
And then when I stop, let's see when I stop. No. He's so loud. So what I was going to say is the program that I was in middle school.
Hold on real quick. You remember you were telling me about when you was doing, what was that, color guard? Yeah. They used to throw the baton, and every time you would drop it, and that was the routine that you learned in your head. So the one time you actually caught it, you didn't know what to do next.
Yes.
That's how it was. It's like, you're supposed to repeat that before I move on. I was like, argue. And check out. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry. He was in the program.
They taught us how to look at the stock reports. They taught us how to get information from companies we wanted to invest in. They taught us how to write checks out of checkbooks. Like, even like, your check should not have the date that the bill is due. It should be at least a week in advance or at least a couple of days so that you're paying this on time. This was back in 6th and 7th grade that I was in this program.
I think it was an elective that they touched on that where it was the same thing. It was like, it started off with like a check balancing thing, which nobody knows how to do that now because they don't nobody write checks no more. But it was like check balancing and a bunch of different financial things. It even talked about like Roth IRA. It was,
yeah.
It hit on a bunch of different things. It probably was new to the program was probably new to the school, so they didn't have like a mm-hmm. written out like this is what they should be taught and this should be the result. But we kind of hit that, but it wasn't anything I don't think as detailed as yours was.
Yeah, ours was literally written into the curriculum of this math program. But I will say that was probably the most in-depth, like, conversations about money that I had in my entire adolescence. Mm-hmm. I remember the first opportunity going into college. I wanted a pager. And, you know, a lot of these credit card institutions prey on college students.
Oh, absolutely.
So I got a credit card so I could get a free pager. And the way it worked is that your pager, your monthly charges were automatically charged onto your credit card. And being a broke college student, I was like, I can't even pay it. So that was my first ding on my credit, was me not being able to pay this daggone, and it was cheap. It was like $30 a month, but I was a broke college student. So it was just like, I can't. And then getting the notices of like the debt collector for this $30 or however many much money it ended up totaling to.
Yeah.
I didn't care. But even with that, like what I've been trying to unlearn is this mindset of debt being a necessity in life. And I think I picked that up by watching people in my family, like the part that feeling like debt is a necessity. Like, yeah. Oh, you gotta have good. And what I mean by debt is a necessity is
most people live by this.
Because we feel like we have to have a good credit score to have a great life. To have a good credit score, you have to have debt.
Yes.
There's no way to have a credit score unless you have debt.
That's what I was about to say. A lot of people, they like harp on this great credit score. It's like, my credit score is this, which means, oh, that means you've owed this much money and you've just paid it back. Or you owe this much money and you're good at being on time with those payments.
Yes.
And that's how the country is literally, our financial institution is set up for people to be in debt, not debt free.
Right.
That's the only way to be successful in that realm of it, of having good credit. They set it up to where, like, we'll make these people look good as long as they owe money.
Right. I mean, there are a lot of people who absolutely are, like, want to and are, their goal is to have the 800
credit score. Yeah.
And not to knock those people, because that means that they are on top of their stuff. And that might be, you know, they possibly never needed to have debt at all. They just did it because they wanted to have it.
Right.
But that has been something that not until my adult, like grown, not like 20 something, but grown life that I didn't realize have been so inundated in me that it became a true like belief, almost like a religion, that there was no such thing as actually having the money to pay for the thing you want. Mm-hmm. It's all about having the money to make payments for the thing you want. Like truly, it was mind blowing. Marcus and I sat through most of Financial Peace University, and I will not lie to you, we have not, the only step I've implemented is like baby step number one, just that mindset. And that's even something that, like, I would say his parents probably did not teach him, because like it's not like they bought their house cash, it's not like they bought their new vehicles cash. They paid those cars off,
right,
based off of debt. So paying interest to financial
break. Yeah, the only thing I will say with, like, they would always pay things off early.
Quickly.
Like, yeah, they would pay them off quickly. Like, that's always my parents' goal. Even the few times I can recall that they had, like, credit card payments or whatever, it was like, okay, we're not going to keep this for more than a year. Like, mm-hmm. we're going to pay this off right away. Mm-hmm. And their cars, like, mom and daddy, one thing they always did was double and triple up on car payments. Mm-hmm. Like, pay them off really quickly. Same with the house. Their mortgage, they always put extra toward the mortgage. Like, it was just, our mortgage is this, but we're going to pay this. Mm-hmm. And, like, that was one thing that was always instilled in them. When they do finance.
But like something that I didn't even realize was a possibility until I talked to our friend who is watching the podcast right now. He's actually going to be our first speaker next week. Our friend Damien, his way of buying a car is, if he knows he's going to buy a car, he will either pay for it from his savings or from an account, and then make car payments to himself. So instead of paying interest,
but Damon got money like that.
Well, because he's right. I mean, you gotta have a certain amount of money like, to be able to do that.
Buy this $120,000 car. I'm just gonna pull it from his little account over here and pay myself. But it makes sense. Yeah,
he's not buying cars like that. But if you're capable, like for instance, your parents, if they're capable of making 3 or 4 car payments, they're capable of saving up those car payments.
Yeah, that
first,
makes a lot of sense.
And then paying for the car, and then paying yourself back so that account.
Yeah, because that interest, that 2 point or 1 point, or if you have horrible credit, 17 point, whatever interest rate, you're not paying.
Right. So my financial story growing up, like I said, being raised by a single mother who, like I said, made a lot of money. However, and not to say that owning a home has to be your goal. Like we talked about this on Married at First Sight.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that you have to be a person that can leave a bunch of money to your kids. I mean, that's a lot of people's goal. It's not everybody's goal. Right. But being that it is my goal to be able to live, you know, financially comfortable and to be able to, while I'm living, set my sons up to be comfortable as they grow into adulthood. And then when I'm gone, set them up to have a huge nest egg. You know what I'm saying? I realized that what I grew up with is not sufficient to take me to there. I feel like my mother did the best she could with her background, but because financial, even with your own household, financial literacy to the point that we could know is not really taught in a lot of Black homes because we don't know. The information is now accessible to everyone, where before the accessibility was it wasn't a thing where we knew where what people were doing to get money, like or that we had access to buy those properties or access to buy land. But
yeah, and that goes even deeper. It's, you know, just the through the history of being Black in this country, we're starting off at a deficit.
Right.
So this is, in general, this is new information that's being fed to Black people.
Right.
Granted, even though it's been available, we didn't know to look for it. Now you see more and more people starting to look for it or being exposed to it. And they're just like, well, hold up. So now I feel like our generation is the first generation that's like, no, I'm going to leave. I want my kids to have what those white kids had. Granted, it wasn't passed from 4 generations ago. It's getting passed from 1 generation. But I hear more and more conversations like that.
And not just white, not just the white kids. A lot of immigrants come over immigrant here.
Well, that's a whole,
starting off so much better.
Because, yeah, the immigrants are starting off because, I mean, a lot of them come from money. And they come here and it's just like, okay, no, I can have this and I'll get this for my kids already, like off the bat.
Even if they don't come from money, there's a whole different relationship with money.
Yeah.
We are, as Americans, we are a country that is obsessed with consumerism. We spend money like crazy. When you think about a lot of the people that come over from smaller countries, like when they, or they come over from Korea, they put their money in a pot. They all invest in a business together when they get over here. They make money off of that business. They live in a house together to keep down their expenses. There is a feeling of delayed gratification is worth it that I don't think we as Black people, I think a lot of times have a problem. And I don't want to make a complete blank statement, but with delayed gratification, it's like once we have it, like when you think of rappers, when you think of basketball players, when you think of the people that we see in our community that make it big, not to say that there aren't people making it big in other ways. A lot of times our first thing,
the one that's
do,
in the spotlight,
we want to stunt.
Yeah, we want to stunt. We want to drop that cash. We're trying to buy every single vehicle. We're trying to, you know, it's,
wear all the ice, wear all the chains.
Yeah.
And not to knock it, because that does not have to be, that can be your goal. Your goal does not have to be building wealth. But if we don't see the images of building wealth enough, we don't realize that's an option.
Right.
So one of the, we'll move into some of our,
our
goals.
Really big. One thing, really quick, I said really big. One thing you see out here is you see people that are first generation living in, you know, whether out here in California, wherever, you see these big extravagant houses and you'll see, you know, 7 or 8 cars parked out in front of them because there's probably 4 or 5 families living in those. Mm-hmm. But these cars are like $200,000 and $300,000 cars. Mm-hmm. And they don't, like she said, they don't mind living together to build something. Because the next thing you know, it's like, oh, we build this. Now I'm going to take this and I'm going to start this separate franchise over here. And, oh, I'm going to start this separate. And it's just like, yeah, there's no point in us going into extreme debt separately when we can do it together and build it, pay it off together, and then branch out and do something different. And that's something I would love to see our people start doing.
Yes. So I'm going to tell you all a little bit of my current financial situation without putting you too much into my business. It's more so mindset than it is a little bit situation as well. Marcus, you give mindset in some situation. Marcus and I don't have multiple credit cards. We have one that we are constantly trying, that we don't use, that we're consistently trying to get paid off so that we don't ever have to look at it again. We have 2 cars that are being currently financed through financial institutions, mine and then Marcus's little love bug that he loves, yeah. His Halo.
That's about to be a tax write-off.
Yes, it better be.
It's about to be. That's the reason I bought it. Go ahead.
The other debt we have is this house, as well as our, as well as my student loans. Marcus' student loan is so small, we could pay it off now.
I can actually write a check to pay it off. And I'm like, why? I should. But
you should. But, so while we don't have a bunch of different debts, literally 1 credit card, 2 cars, a house, and my student loans, it is an alarming amount because of my student loans. And then also having a house is not no small thing. It is a big financial undertaking. So, while we have that, right, where my mindset that I struggle with the most is, one, trying to figure out what things that I should be buying for my business, mm-hmm. and not feeling so like scared to purchase things for my business. And then 2, also feeling some type of way about like putting huge amounts on my debt, mm-hmm. because I'm just like, but what if something happens,
right,
that I did not expect that I could have used that money for? So a lot of my decisions sometimes are based on fear, which I know is a problem when it comes to finances, instead of based on actual strategy. So it's something in my mind that I'm always having to battle. But before Marcus goes into his financial like position now and where what he's trying to do, we want to jump into our third sponsor, who is one of our favorites that has sponsored our podcast multiple times, and I feel like it's probably the most prevalent and relevant sponsors that we could have currently, and that is BetterHelp, spelled Better H-E-L-P. Now, if there's something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals, but as you all heard just now, with my financial goals, I feel like I operate more in fear more than in firmly knowing what I want and trying to achieve those things. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. Okay, because a lot of decisions and emotions you have in life are based on something, and sometimes you need a professional to be able to help pinpoint that so that you can start changing your behaviors and moving forward in the way that you really want to move forward in. You can start communicating in over 48 hours with a professional from BetterHelp. This is not a crisis line, okay? And it's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. There's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. The service is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely, thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches so that they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. You can visit their website. You can read their testimonials. You can see that there are real people getting better help from mm-hmm. BetterHelp.
Like, oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, I won't say especially like a lot of people don't realize that you need somebody to talk to. Mm-hmm. Like it ain't always like your friends. I go on to Angel a lot. Mm-hmm. But even she has told me, it's like, I'm not an expert. You need to talk to somebody. Mm-hmm. Especially not even in these times, like especially as Black people, we need somebody to talk to. Don't be afraid, especially Black men. I know y'all out here, y'all watching, y'all listening right now to the podcast. Some of y'all listening live. If you need somebody to talk to, do not be afraid to reach out, because it is extremely important, and mm-hmm. it can change your life. We have seen it change people's lives. Our friend Kev on stage, he like, this is a completely different man today than what he was 2 months ago.
Right.
Completely, like, night and day different.
Yeah.
And even us, it's like, as we work through things, as we talk through things and work through things, we realize what's going on. It's extremely important that you talk to somebody and help you work out your issues.
A licensed professional.
Yes.
You hear me? So what we would like you to do is to visit BetterHelp.com/argue.
Argue.
That's Better, H-E-L-P, and join the over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. Special offer for Is This Going to Cause an Argument listeners. Get 10% off your first month with BetterHelp.com/argue.
Argue. See how you leave you hanging.
I appreciate you, baby. Again, we want to thank our sponsors. Let me tell you, this was a dream to be able to have sponsors that felt like our podcast, our platform, was impactful enough that they would want to use us to spread the message of mm-hmm. what they have and what services they offer. It just warms my heart.
It really does.
That that these sponsors would want to be a part of our podcast. So we hope that you all will check them out. Whatever walk of life you're going walking through, if one of these sponsors can be helpful, we hope that you check them out and you use our promo code or the link that they have provided for our podcast. So, Marcus, what is your current financial situation and your current financial mindset?
Current financial situation is, I have, at this point, let me think. It's not the first time I've had multiple streams of income. Mm-hmm. Just from before I moved to California, I had my job, and then I had a bunch of side hustles, which was either carpentry or other electrical work. Mm-hmm. And actually, me and my cousin used to have a lawn care business. So it's not the first time. However, as a more mature adult that had a different outlook on finances, this is the first time of having multiple streams of income. And luckily, I have a responsible partner, even though Angel says that she's not responsible. She is very responsible when it comes to finances. However, how intelligent we are with finances may be a little different.
Yeah.
But I feel like we both can be responsible, but we also live by that creed of, we still deserve to enjoy ourselves a little bit.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, dying to save.
Yeah.
So right now it's like, I've noticed, and I've said this before on the podcast, I know I've told Angel, it's like the more money I make, the least desirable I am to spend it. Like, I'm more reluctant to spend it the more I make.
Uh-huh.
And that's because I'm seeing the result of my accounts starting to fill up, or just how many different ways I'm discovered that I can save, or, mm-hmm. you know, just throw money somewhere to where I won't touch it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I see that, and it's motivating. It's just like, okay, I got this much in there. Mm-hmm. Let me try to double that.
Okay.
And that's my goal. And it's worked out pretty well so far. It's like the financial peace thing definitely helped.
Yeah.
Of like looking at it differently. One thing it took for me is studying how I spend money, and mine's a little different. I know exactly what I'm going to make every single week.
Yes.
Which makes it night and day from Angel's situation. So mine is like, I'm still with my career, still with my company. So I go to work every day. So I know exactly what's going to come hit my account on Wednesday or Thursday. Mm-hmm. This week, next week, the week after, I know exactly what that is, so it's easy for me to plan it out.
Yeah.
And that's why I think the other reason is I'm a little more likely to spend money over Angel, because it's like, oh, no, I got this, I can take this from this, and I can replace that next week, and I still got these that I, you know, for backup. So Angel's coming from a different place. However, me, it's like, as I do see those accounts build up, it's just like, no, I don't want to spend any money. It's like, do I need clothes right now? Do I need shorts? Absolutely. But you know, before I would have been, if I didn't have as much as I do now, I would have been like, you know what? I need to buy some, I deserve some shorts. Mm-hmm. But right now I'm just like, ain't nobody going to see me. And if they do, if they see me in these camouflage shorts for 3 weeks, guess what? They clean. No.
And so that's what, and that's where we are still trying to figure out in marriage, how to balance that. Somebody asked if our parents taught us how to budget. Mine did not. I still don't know how to budget because my career is mm-hmm. so like feast or famine. Like, I still have the hardest time trying to figure out how to budget appropriately. I now have a little more consistent income, like or money with the different, with the various streams of income. As long as I stay on this path that I'm on, I can kind of guesstimate how much money I'll bring in each month. But that was not the case until the pandemic.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I believe, Angel, you could definitely budget without question had your income been consistent for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Angel, like, y'all don't understand how frugal and how smart Angel is. I don't think you completely understand yet, but Angel's income has always been such a roller coaster.
Yeah.
And that's how most, you know, unless they're on a, like, this is the first time you stepped outside the box of just being an actress. Or do y'all like being called actresses or actors?
It doesn't matter. I like to be called paid.
Employed.
Yeah, there okay. you go.
Okay, but as for most of them, unless they're on a reoccurring or starring in a show, it's always this roller coaster of hills and valleys. It's like, yeah, I made $300K the first quarter of the year, but I didn't work the rest of the year. And then taxes sees it as, oh, you make $300K every quarter. No.
And they snatch that money out of my check.
So, Angel, how well she's been able to do, one, her hustle, but two, how well she's been able to work with money that is not guaranteed. Nobody's money is guaranteed, but the way mine has been consistently, mm-hmm. I think you've done extremely well with that. I've always thought you've done well with it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I do appreciate that. I feel like, yes, if I had been having consistent income all this time, like right now, with the more consistent money, I'm more so already thinking about taxes. So the biggest thing that my brain is set on has not even been, okay, let's pay down this debt. It's making sure that when taxes come, that I am set, that they're not asking for money that I don't have sitting in my account already ready for them, or that I'm not either, it would be even better, having already paid them and we are like at zero. So I don't owe you, you don't owe me. We good.
Mm-hmm.
But what I was about to say, the part that I think for us that we have to work through is because I'm the one that has my eyes more on our debt, other than even though he handles the car debt, he's the one that pays that.
Yeah, we split that office. It's like Angel handles some things, I handle other things.
Right.
And it's just like, unless, like, if she comes to me, it's like, no, I need help with this. I'm like, all right. Mm-hmm. If I come to her like, hey, I'm going to need help with this, it would be like, all right. But we have yet to come to that because it's pretty even,
yeah,
as far as who pays what. It's like
we just split it down the middle. I pay more things I pay attention to the bills more in general as far as in like a lot of the stuff is in my name, so I know what's coming down the pipeline where Marcus has his things. But if I see something come down the pipeline that needs a portion from him, mm-hmm. I'll let him know. So just in case some of you all might not realize this, me and Marcus operate not in the traditional Christian sense. Marcus has his own accounts. I have my own accounts. And then we have a joint account. The joint account is what we do ebb and flow of money. So if he needs to add in more of something, like our mortgage payment goes into that account.
That's just for people wondering how that works, because some people are like, that's blasphemy. But it's like one of those things where it's like, we'll go out, like, let's just, for example, I don't know, like the mukbangs. Let's say we spent X amount of hundreds of dollars on food. I'm just like, you want me to help with that? She was like, I'm going to need you to carry that, or I'm going to need you to go in half. I'm like, how much? I'll just put it in the joint account.
Right.
And she'll pull out whatever, you know, needs. But the joint account is also, we kind of treat it like a savings. Like, we put money in there not just to spend. It's just like, let's build that up too.
Yeah. So the part that I was saying we still have to figure out is because I have a clearer vision of more of the things. When Marcus is sitting on a storehouse in his savings, my brain is like, yeah. But there's this thing that we could just pay off, right? So that's something that hopefully as we start like really being intentional about our money, not that, like I said, because of what our goal is, if mm-hmm. we didn't have the goals that we had financially, the way we're operating is just fine. But because we have goals of actually building financial wealth while we're alive with our children, mm-hmm. there are some actions that we're taking now that are not going to actually get us to those goals. So, again, and just to go ahead.
Like you, I kind of live in that fear of, because we've been there before, where it's like, oh, we have this big expense. Where's it going to come from?
Yeah.
And it's like now over the, you know, past couple of years, it's like, okay, I'm building this up. If we have an expense up to a certain amount, like an emergency expense, it's like, oh no, that's taken care of at this point. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's just like, how quickly could we build that up?
Right.
If I just go ahead and pay off whatever.
Yes. Because to be completely honest, there have been a couple of surprises that have come up on us that if mm-hmm. it wasn't for our parents, we would have been SOL. Not SOL to the point that we were just like there wasn't another option. It was just going to be an option that we didn't want to have to take.
Right.
And obviously, I don't want us to ever be in that place ever again. Mm-hmm. But I feel as though we just have a lot of growth. So we are not doing this series as a way to show you we've got it down pat.
No, we don't. We're far from down pat.
We are very far. But we decided that since we're on this journey, because we want to buy a new house, which is very un-Dave Ramsey. But we're like, well, Dave, we're still going to do it.
Dave Ramsey would be like, well, sell the vehicles. You can kiss my ass, Dave. I ain't selling nothing. So, there's one I would like to sell right now, though. But I'm keeping it Mustang.
So, we want to allow you to know where we're starting at in this journey. Mm-hmm. And we also wanted you to be able to come on the journey with us because there is no way out of getting out of finances. Like, even if you are a billionaire, you still, most billionaires are not billionaires and thinking, I don't ever want to make another dime again. They right. want to become even more wealthier. They right. want to spend other people's money and keep their money.
Actually, that's usually how that works.
Yes. So, again, we are going to be having... Our co-host had things to say. He's like, they better not have nothing left for me. Right?
Goofy.
So we will be having people on that we respect their outlook on money. Again, we're not endorsing anybody as a fact of you have to follow what they're doing. Yeah. We're just hoping that the information that they share is something that could be potentially helpful for you.
Yeah, because you never know what might be helpful for you and what might not. It's like, unless you hear it, it may come from a completely different avenue that you never thought of.
Right. So,
we're not even sure if this will help us.
Right. Listen, I am currently in a group called FIRE, which means financial independence, retire early. And some of my goals are not the goals that are in the group. But I will say, which is very interesting, the person who will be our second guest, she had us make a vision board, not for 2021. She had us make a vision board for 2030. Not only that, it was a financial vision board. She knows exactly what she wants her net worth to be by 2030. And she's actually doing like actual steps. This is not, let me just manifest money coming to me. She's looking at her current paycheck. She's looking at what her earning potential will be and what she will need to earn in certain years, how much she needs to put away, what she needs to invest, and what she needs to invest in to actually make 1 + 1 = 2. So, like, that was my first time ever seeing that. I was like, wait a minute. You're actually planning on this being your net growth?
And she says, confidently, like, yeah. Like, yeah, why not?
Because it's actual math. It's right. not It's not magic. It's math.
Yeah, and that was kind of, not to say it's on any type of the same level. That was Daddy's thing with saving. He was just like, mm-hmm. you save this much a week. You put in, not even save, you put this much in your account a week. you put this much, that means you'll have this much a month, this much a year. In 10 years, you'll have this much.
Right.
And it was like, simple for him to say. I was like, you know how hard it is at my age?
Right.
Still wouldn't do that.
So
actually, I probably should have, and I'd be sitting pretty large. But
My girlfriend, who's going to come on, she's not a financial expert. However, she is a lover of finance, of investments, of bank accounts. Like, she's just a wealth of knowledge that has opened my eyes to so many things that I could be doing better. Especially with savings, this is my first year, and like, I don't feel any shame in this. This is my first year of actually having a savings account that I'm using appropriately. Mm. I have never had a savings account that has actually held money for an extended period of time for a reason.
You know what? This is every time I've had a savings account up until this year. You know what? This pandemic helped me because that was one of the things that kind of helped stockpiling. I ain't gonna say stockpiling like I'm sitting on a gold mine, but it's like I wasn't spending so much on gas. And like just that difference, you know, my truck, especially when gas is up out here in LA, it's like $100 a week. Mm-hmm. So that extra $100 a week for me is like just money. It's like, okay, I got this. Let me throw that over there. I'm gonna forget about that. I'm gonna throw this over there. I'm gonna forget about that. And it's like the first time it's like, all right, I've had a savings account, because usually every few months it's like something comes up. It's like, well, let me just dip into this savings account. That'll split off half of this that I'm going to have to pay for.
But that's what's great to see, because a lot of times we'll think an amount is too insignificant for it to actually have an effect on our finances. Mm-hmm. But every dollar counts towards something.
Damn, that's what I've realized. Every single dollar.
That's why I don't get upset. When people say I can no longer do Patreon because my finances won't allow it. Yes, Patreon is only $5. And people do waste $5 all the time. So I'm thinking, well, at least we're giving you high quality content. But I do now understand, as a person who's trying to have a different relationship with money, that $5, after a while, that $60 you could have had growing in a savings account if you were a Patreon. $60
a year,
The $60 a year that you spend could have been growing in a savings account. I am not trying to persuade anyone not to be my Patreon. Please, if you got the $5.
Yeah, if you got friends that got it, send them over here because we're going to entertain them.
I'd rather you give up coffee than to give up me, okay? Because I'm going to give you way more energy. Coffee ain't going to give you no insight. Coffee ain't going to help you love
Beans.
Coffee ain't going to give you laughs. It might give you gas, but it ain't going to give you... Coffee ain't got the slumlord, okay? And that's what you get for this $5 on our Patreon.
Who's on my last nerve? Him and Cy.
And so, you guys, I am so excited about this series. I have been putting it off. And I was like, nope, we're starting today. I was like, no, we're starting it.
She was like, no, we're starting this series. I was like, I don't know if I'm ready to talk. Hey, wait, whoa, easy, baby.
But we started it today, and we hope that you all enjoy it. We'll be doing it for, like I said, I don't know by next week if this is about to be a four-part series. It is a four-part series. So get ready for all these amazing guests we're going to have on. If you all have questions, please let us know ahead of time. Either email me at pregnantangel@gmail.com. If you're watching this, you can just put it in the comments of the video. As always, you can follow me on every platform at That Chick Angel. You can follow Marcus at
Marcusing on the gram, Marcusing on the book, on Instagram and Facebook. You can check out Man Shit. That's my beard and body butter. You can find that at manshit.com. That's manshyt. It's a beard and body butter. I'm currently working on other products. I got branding that I'm working on right now. But check that out.
Again, a special thank you to our sponsors, Peanut. Check out Peanut, the app. You can go to peanut.com. Mm-hmm. No, peanut.com. Turn to the page so I can say it right. I thought it is right there. It is peanut.app.link/Marcus and Angel.
Again, that's peanut.app.link/Marcus and Angel.
You can also check out Magic Spoon at magicspoon.com/RU
and BetterHelp
at betterhelp.com/RU. Check out all of our sponsors. Show them some love. while they're showing us some love.
Absolutely.
Join our Patreon at www.patreon.com/thatchickangel. Thank you so much to the immediate family for being here. And we will see you all next Wednesday with more finance and family.
Absolutely.
We'll see you all then.
Yeah, have a good one, family.
Bye.